Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord you're able to join me as we share these next few moments together. And as I was seeking the Lord, asking Him how He would have us spend our time today in the next few broadcasts, in other words, what did He want to share with us, I felt directed to share with you about a most wonderful personage, and that person is the person of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever considered how wonderfully, truly wonderfully, God has manifested Himself throughout the ages in His dealings with mankind? As we look in the pages of God's Word in the Old Testament, there's a description in the 5th chapter of Deuteronomy where all of Israel was assembled before the Mount of God, before Mount Sinai. And it says that the Lord spoke to all the assembly in the Mount out of the midst of the fire, out of the cloud, and out of the thick darkness with a great voice. And they had seen His glory, they'd perceived His greatness, and they heard the actual voice of God, but they were afraid, and they told Moses, if we hear the voice of the Lord anymore, we shall die. And so they asked that Moses would go before the Lord and receive the instructions, the commandments, and then they would listen. But God, that shows His heart's desire, that He wanted a closeness and intimacy with His people. That was His desire always, ever since the Garden of Eden. And of course, as we look what followed after the Old Covenant, that event in time that separates the Old Covenant with the New Covenant, we have the very person of Jesus. That's the demarcation, if you will, because when Jesus came into this world, born of a virgin, He was God incarnate in human flesh. He spoke to His disciples. He declared that He was issuing in a new covenant in His blood. And through the life of Jesus, as we look at all that was accomplished, all that He did, in fact, even His very inception, another person was involved very intimately with the events of His life. From the very moment of His conception, through His baptism by John in the River Jordan, in His temptations in the wilderness, in His public ministry of about 3 years, in His death and resurrection, until the very moment that His earthly ministry was finished and He ascended to the Father. And that person was none other than the Holy Spirit. And today, the Holy Spirit works hand in hand with Jesus to do the will of the Father here on earth. Jesus is physically no longer with us. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is coming back. But that's why Jesus spoke so encouragingly to His disciples. He said, "It's necessary for me to go, but don't be fearful, don't be afraid, because I'm going to send you another one just like me, the Holy Spirit." And of course, He came in a powerful and dramatic way on the day of Pentecost. We see that recorded in the second chapter of Acts. And remember, that is what Jesus said. He said, "I will send you another comforter." So, since the Holy Spirit has been so intimately involved in the works of God, He is God, in fact, and we'll be seeing that as we go into the scripture a little later, we know that in the very opening pages of the Bible, that very first chapter, it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. He hovered over the waters. He was involved in creation itself. But the important thing, as we learn about the Holy Spirit, is how can we get to know Him today? Well, the very first step we take is when we accept Jesus, when we're willing to accept the Lord into our heart and lives, and we recognize there is a God, that God is real. He's not dead. He's very much alive. And in the words of Peter, in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So, beloved, before you can receive the gift, the person of the Holy Spirit, you must repent from your sins. And the marvelous, wonderful understanding and revelation in all of this is that it's the Holy Spirit Himself who gives us the power to repent from these very same sins. In other words, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that moves upon His heart. When you were saved, do you remember the events that took you to that moment in time? Do you remember how you were being drawn? Do you remember how you were seeking and hungering after, maybe you didn't even know what, but you were looking for answers? You were not happy with your life the way it is. You wanted something more. Well, the Holy Spirit was active in your life to put that hunger there. And then once you take that step, I know the very first prayer I ever prayed, I said, "God, if you're real, make yourself real to me." Because I was in a terrible struggle between what I felt was the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know all that was going on at that time, but I knew I was irresistibly being drawn to the things of God. I'd met some real Christians, and yet my mind, my intellect, which 10 years before had said, you know, I want nothing to do with Christianity, and, you know, I was in Berkeley in the 60s, so if you are old enough and remember what that time was like, I don't have to say any more. And so that was the first prayer I prayed, because, you know, the intellectual mind of man is very haughty. It's so limited. It's like the size of a pea, if that. I mean, compared to the omnipotence and the power and the knowledge of the mind of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it's pitiful. Our brains can't even begin to comprehend. I don't care if we were Einstein tenfold over, we cannot begin to understand the mysteries, the wonders that are in this universe, all that God created that came out of the very mind of God. And so we have to humble ourselves. And so I couldn't sort it out, and I had to take the first step to God, and that was a step of faith. And beloved, if you happen to be listening and maybe you haven't made that step, it's simply a matter of saying, "Lord, I want to come to you, and I'm hearing what this salvation message is, and I want Jesus. I want my life to change." That's all you have to do, and to call out to Him. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as you repent from your sins and are willing to turn from the past ways of your life and allow Him to make you a new creature, He will do that exactly. And then once that occurs, once we accept the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is then bestowed upon us. He dwells within our spirit as our eternal friend. Now, earlier in the broadcast, I mentioned about the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. Well, it was very different dispensations. Under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit was, of course, always there. But as far as dealings with the people of God, the Holy Spirit only came upon for a period of time, upon the prophets, the priests, the judges, and the kings. And then, as I said, it was only for a season. But now, when Jesus died on the cross, what were the words He said? "It is finished." And at that moment, that great veil that was in the temple before the Ark of the Testimony, from the very top to the bottom, was ripped. There were no human hands doing that. It was the very hands of God that was displaying before the world, before the universe, that the way was now made for man to enter into the very presence of God, a sacred privilege that had been only allowed once a year by the high priest under the old covenant. And so now, beloved, layman, prophet alike, regardless of who we are, we can come into the very presence of God. He can abide with us. And there's nothing more personal nor precious than the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in the new temple that He's made, which is the very spirit of man, and He dwells in the temple, which is our body. Praise God. And so what I want to do, with the Lord's help, is to show you, to teach you, and to share with you scriptures that the Holy Spirit is not a it, He's not a force, but He's very much a wonderful person, and that He wants to share His life with us. Beloved sister, brother, beloved brother, He wants to share His life with you. Praise God. And so if we start thinking of Jesus, just, you know, when you think about the Lord, think about what He's like, think about the things He did on this earth, well, doesn't your heart start to warm with longing? Don't you start wishing, oh, I wish I could have lived at the time of Jesus. I wish I could have seen Him. I wish I could have seen the wonderful miracles that He did. Well, just think how you're feeling right now when you think about Jesus. Now I want to ask you to think about the Holy Spirit. For some reason, we fail to apply those very same qualities that we think in terms of Jesus. We fail to apply those to the Holy Spirit. And yet that is exactly what will open our hearts to the gifts and manifestations of His holy presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why do we have this difficulty? Well, I believe to some extent the doctrine of the personality of the Holy Spirit has been neglected, hasn't been taught that much. And also, you've even heard Christians, they tend to treat the Holy Spirit as a power or as an experience rather than a person. One of the things that really bothers me, and I sometimes hear even spirit-filled people, they say, have you received it yet? He's not an it. Something I just cringe when I hear that, because He's not an it. He's a wonderful person. And with the Lord's grace, I pray that you will get to know the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, that you will get to know Him in such a measure, in such a dimension, that you've never known Him all the days of your life. Now, on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to start looking at the reality of the Holy Spirit as a person. And I'll continue my teaching, and I pray you'll be able to join me. But until that time, the announcer is going to give you our contact information. If you have prayer needs, prayer requests, feel free to share them with me. I love you in Christ. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.